We could push you from here to the end of this section. That'd be like ending the first section of Milo. For the guys who love Milo, like Han. Han loves Milo. Look at him. Look at that face. So let's just understand, because this is a little tricky. My primary focus is to really show you guys what the sages take into account when they create an Issa D'Rabbana, a very misunderstood system, because most people, when they think of rabbinical prohibitions, they think of them as made up, which is erroneous, or like what's the logic behind it, especially ones that have less applicability today, which I'm very aware of. As the Gemara, just like the Gemara did the first section we did, it took up, we had a working definition and then kept modifying it. The same is going to apply by Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan. Okay, same exact kind of thing, where there's going to be a basic approach of what the Gemara wants to accomplish, and then it's going to start modifying it over and over. Each case is going to be a further modification. So just like last time, we have to have a basic working understanding of what Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan is, and then how the Gemara comes along and kind of slices it up. Okay? All right. That's the objective. Now, the hard part is to always keep in mind what sounds counterintuitive. All right? So, if a korban has a psul, if the sacrifice has a defect in it, right, and it is brought to the mizbeach, it's brought to the altar, and you paskin that it cannot remain up there, you must take it off, what would you hold the status of me'ilah is on that korban? Does me'ilah apply or not? If it's ola v'seirid, what? Good. So midoraisa, if that korban cannot stay on the mizbeach, that means, for lack of a better term, it's essentially, you understand when I say it this way, garbage. It's not worthy of me'ilah. Okay. So again, if the korban must be taken off the mizbeach when it has a psul on it, if it can't remain there, it means that it is not subject to me'ilah. Or in other words, midoraisa, right? In other words, ola v'seirid means or translates into no me'ilah. They go hand in hand. Is that clear? I have to like emphasize that point. If you have to take the korban off the mizbeach, me'ilah does not apply. Okay? Okay. So the problem is, what's the problem? Good? Okay. So what's the problem? The problem that we left off with is like this. So the Mishnah says, if you shecht in the darum, shecht in the wrong makom, okay, if you slaughter the animal in the wrong place in the Beis HaMikdash, so what's the halacha? According to Rava, ola rugs puzzle. And if I brought it up to the Mizbeach, what would I have to do? No. Ola v'yered. According to Rabbah. Good. Forget, we don't care about Yosef. We're going to Rabbah. But it doesn't matter who. Don't forget who. Okay? You have to take it off. If that's true, if I shech the korban in the wrong makom, and therefore I have to take it off the Mizbeach, what does that tell us about the status of the animal? Good. We also know, right, that if the by Kutrim Shemesu, if I have an animal that I consecrated for the temple and it dies prior to bringing it in to shecht it, etc., what's the status of the animal? Does me'ilah apply? No. Okay. Well, what does Ula say? He says, "Yatsu midi me'ilah dvar Torah." There's no me'ilah deraisa, all right? Meaning no me'ilah. Okay. Good. You'll see why I'm bringing the Mishnah case in soon. So now the Gemara comes in and says, okay, well, so therefore, how do we know there's Me'ilah D'Rabbanan by Kutrim Shemesu? Because they derive it from this idea, right? In other words, if it says Yatza, it's not Me'ilah D'Raisa doesn't apply, why would I have to say Me'ilah D'Raisa doesn't apply? To let you know that what does apply? Me'ilah D'Rabbanan. Okay. So now we have two cases now of Me'ilah D'Rabbanan. We have the case in the Mishnah, which is if I shecht in the wrong makom, what would apply? Me'ilah D'Rabbanan. And then we also have a Kutrim Shemesu, right? If the animal dies before I bring it in, Me'ilah D'Rabbanan applies. So Tosfos, without going through it again, Tosfos forces us to understand what's the Chiddush. Tosfos wants to know, what's the Chiddush? What are we learning? Why do we have to know that Kutrim Shemesu have Me'ilah D'Rabbanan? Why is it important for us to know? Right? Like, what's the Chiddush there? So what would you say? Why do we need, we started this yesterday, why does there need to be a separate prohibition of Me'ilah D'Rabbanan by Kutrim Shemesu when we know there's already a prohibition of Me'ilah D'Rabbanan by?
By Han.
Say it.
By what, Kutrim? By the wrong makom?
Yes, yeah. When you shecht in the wrong makom.
Yeah.
One more time. There's a Me'ilah Me'ilah D'Rabbanan when I shecht in the wrong makom, correct? Mm-hmm. If I shecht in the wrong makom, if I create that psul, there is an Isser Me'ilah D'Rabbanan, right? So if that already exists, what do I need a Me'ilah D'Rabbanan for by Kutrim Shemesu?
Are there two different types of
religion? One second. You guys are always about efficiency in rabbinical law, sure. Right? Okay, good. So here's a good example of an inefficiency. Because if there's an Isser Dirabanan by shechting in the wrong makom of Me'ila, right? If I shech the korban in the wrong makom, it's pasul, right? Me'ila Dirabanan applies, right? Me'ila Daraisa doesn't apply because it's, again, for lack of a better term, it's in a terrible, disgusting state, right? Right?
Yeah.
So if that's true, what do I need an Isser Dirabanan for on Katrin Shemesu? Why would I need that for? Because Katrin Shemesu, right? What's the issue? What are you worried about?
Yeah.
What's it protecting?
Can we talk?
Right. You have a shame korban. It's in the temple. All the elements of protecting the Daraisa are contained.
Yeah. Yesterday, I asked.
I think. I mean, this is using Tosfos plus the Gemara. I think we successfully demonstrated why there shouldn't be any need for a Darabanan by Katrin Shemesa. Because what are you worried about? What are you protecting? So it can't be that you're protecting a botch in the mikdash of someone saying, oh, well, if I mess up this korban and no mila applies, any mess up by a korban won't apply. Because kachin jamesa is a different phenomenon. It's not related to that.
Right?
But what I wanted to say was is that you can't tell me it's kachim, the same... What?
Kachim is in the name.
I know, but it has to relate back to mila.
Right.
So that's what I was trying to say yesterday. That's why I wanted to say that there's two kinds of derabanans, okay? In general, you'll see this. One kind of derabanan, you'll see a direct causal chain between the deraisa action and the derabanan action, right? Don't ride a horse on Shabbos because it'll lead you to do what?
I've seen you on
your horse before. He does that all the time. Every time, right? But I'm saying that's what the rabbis do. They constantly, more often than not, in a normative derabanan, you're going to see a causal chain. Don't do X because it'll lead to Y. Okay? And I'd say more often than not, that's the objective of the derabanan. But there's another type of derabanan that exists, which is trying to protect an institution, meaning. What people need to realize by Me'ila, and the proof of it is, by the way, is that if you ask people about Me'ila, they'll tell you, yeah, what's the Isser Me'ila?
Stealing from the Mikdash.
Which means what? Which means eating the meat or picking off the hairs, whatever, right? But I'm telling you, the average person does not know what about Me'ila, that the other Isser, which is just as bad, is
bringing
it outside. If I take this korban and I bring it outside the Mikdash, I didn't get any hanah from it. That's also Me'ila. So it could be by Katrin Shemesu, what Chazal is trying to say is that we don't want anyone to ever think, at this point, right, to ever think that these animals are not subject to Mila at all. Because what a person would say is, by Katrin Shemesu, if it's okay, right, this thing was hektish, right, it was supposed to be used as a korban, and now I'm not bringing it in, and Mila doesn't apply at all.
They don't want people to conflate hektish and Mila.
They don't want people to think that now that Mila doesn't apply to this important object, right, what are they going to think about Mila?
It's non-existent.
No, I know, but why would that mess up Me'ila itself? Again, they're trying to protect the institution of Me'ila. Why would this mess up Me'ila? In other words,
it never entered in the first place.
Right. So, no, you're right. I know. But the point is that if Me'ila doesn't apply by this item as well, so people are going to say, oh, well, it's not an Isra Hana issue. They're not worried about that when it comes to Kachin Shemesu. There's no confusion with regular korban.
Right.
But they should see that any object that has supposed to be designated for Mikdash, because Me'ila in its totality includes more than just the Isra Hana. It was also Isser Yetziya. So that's why Me'ila should apply as well. It's trying to protect the institution of Me'ila. It's trying to say every case now should be underneath this umbrella.
Sure.
Okay? Now, when Chazal do that, okay, what's the Gemara going to try and do? What's his objective now?
Going to X or Y.
No. Come on. Don't read between the lines. What's the Gemara want? What does the Gemara want? Whenever you present a universal, what does the Gemara always try and do?
Try to specify, like try to narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, okay, but you're being too nice, Ezra. What's it really trying to do?
Knock it down.
Eliminate. Destroy it.
Yeah.
Show you why that universal is not true. Okay? That's going to happen every time. Well, not every time. Almost every time. The Gemara will always present a universal. They'll say, fine. Katrin Shemesu, Me'ila Darabanan should apply. And let's assume it's protect the institution of Me'ila. Now the Gemara is going to try its best to show you why that shouldn't be the case. So what's it always going to look for? That one case where what? Where Me'ila Darabanan wouldn't apply.
Yeah.
Right? Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shank, you're reading today, right? I'm Bez, I'm a Bez, Bez.
Yeah.
Right hand column. Lema.
Lema. Shetitina. Dula.
Dula. Okay. So you see how much translation there is for those three words?
Yeah.
So I'll make your life easy. Because you wouldn't know this. That's why you have to be more comfortable reading Rashi and stuff. All the Gemara says is, the Gemara's question is very simple. Okay? I gave away the question before, just that no one was paying attention. It's very simple. No, it's not your fault. It's okay. It's because like this. So Ula says that Kachim Shemesu, there's an Isser Me'ila Derabanan. Correct?
Mm.
Good. Now, and how do we know that Ula means that? Through his Brisa, because he says, Katra Shemesu, Yatza from Vartara, right? Okay, so there's two issues there. A, that's a Brisa. B, that's a derivation. We're deriving from what he said. But one second, don't we have a primary source that tells us openly that that it must be Yildur Rabbanan? What's the primary source? The Mishnah. Because the Mishnah tells us what?
The first case.
Because in the first case, when it says, if I shecht in the wrong makom, mi'ila applies, what kind of mi'ila is it talking about? The Rabbanan. Why is it talking about mi'ila de Rabbanan? How do we know it has to be true?
It's
but it can't be. Because going to Rabbah, if I had to take the korban off, it must be mi'ila de Rabbanan. So if we have a primary source in the Mishnah that tells us mi'ila de Rabbanan, what the heck do I need Ula for? Okay? Okay. It's actually a sneaky... It's not really such a great question, to be honest with you, because the Gemara knows that already. He knows what the Mishnah says. You know what I mean? Okay, fine. So, but look at the answer. The answer is what's interesting. I'm Rav Yochanan. Afagav. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. We need the... You're 100% right. The Mishnah teaches us Mi'ila Derabanan. So what do we need Ula for? It's Derech to Ula. Okay, Salka Daitech Amina always means what?
You
might have thought, which means we have a... To do what with? To explain. The Gemara now is going to be clear about a logical possibility. The Gemara gives us a logical possibility that we need to explain the basis for it, and then the maskana. So the Gemara says, now here it comes. Hacha. Minhon. Okay, now read the translation part to make it easy for you. By the way, I forgot that. So the Gemara says, Hacha lo bedilin minhu. So look at translation, guy. Kachim shenishkatu bedarom. Now, this is great. For those guys who people who like a weak ad hominem, welcome. Because what's the Gemara saying? So when you shecht korbanos in the wrong makom, so people won't be so, quote-unquote, separated from them. Why? Sharei.
Nishkato.
Bekashrus. Okay, because the animal, it was shechted properly, right? However, Ella.
Ella, Shemina,
Shchitasam. But rather, what was the problem? It was just shecht in wrong makom. Now, it's your cue. Differently than aval kachrim shemesu. I'm sorry. V'lachain, sorry. V'lachain gazur rabbanan.
Where?
See, right. One. Right. So the problem is that if I go ahead and shecht the animal properly, right, but in the wrong makom, so it's likely a person will think that what I do wrong. It's like not a major issue.
Right,
so then,
they can benefit from it.
V'lachein gazur. So therefore, that's why. Right. So that's why the Chachamim said, "Let's
sense.
Make me good." Because what will happen in some other mistaken incident? What will people think? Exactly. Right. Right. That's a good derbanan.
You guys make the shani more. You're done. Right?
But kachin shemesu. Right. Ho'il. Okay. So we're not going to question this premise. Okay. So they're nevela. Now look at he adds. By the way, he adds because of nevela v'heim ma'usim. What's ma'us? So if an animal dies before it makes it into the temple, I was makish the animal, it dies, right? It's nevela now. Everyone knows what nevela is?
Right.
Yeah. Who said no?
I said yes.
I said no.
So nevela is, let's say the animal dies. Can I eat it? No. It's nevela. Okay, but I think it's an important point. I mean, he's echoing Rashi, but this idea of nevela is ma'us. So how does a person look at how does the average Jew look at the animal that's dead that he can't eat? It's like nevela is equated with ma'us. It's like, it's disgusting to me now. Like, I don't have anything to do with
right,
it.
So what's the fence?
He says, Ema.
Ema, afilu, mi'ila, mi'ila, lo.
So there's no need for mi'il derabanan. Why? Because what are people going to naturally do when it comes to this cart, and I'm going to bias it for a second, this rotting carcass that I can't eat. What do you do with that thing? You stay away from it. So what do you need mi'il derabanan for?
You could also be like...
Kamash Malan. Okay. That's why Ula has to come in and tell you that even here there goes a mi'ila. Again, it's sensible to have a me'ila derabanan by the case of shechting the wrong makom because their people are not bedili mehun, which means they see it as like a minor problem, right? They're not going to be so separate from the object. They'll be related to it. But when it comes to kachrus shemesu, right? So there, if my animal plots before I make it to the temple, I'm not saying I'm going to run away from it, but what is it to me now? It's disgusting.
If
there's an isser, the Gemara is saying is that naturally speaking, a person will always stay away from the Katrin Shemesa. He's not going to go near it, right? It's like, ugh. Forgetting how literally you take that. The point is, it's Nevela. He's going to... There's... Nevela is a natural barrier that exists between the person and the object.
Well, you could say that he might...
Good question. Can you make use of Katrin Shemesu?
No.
No, right? It's right. Still off limits, right? It's in like this purgatory.
For what reason? Mila Darbanan or
no, before Mila Darbanan. Just, it's just off... There's no use for it.
Because of...
Because you were Makdash and you couldn't use it.
Hekdash, right?
Yeah, because Hekdash. Yeah, okay. Right. So...
It's
what? So the Gemara is giving away the... what do you call it? It's giving us the answer, right? Right. No, but think about it. Let's think about it. Why the Hamin is easy, right? Obviously, there's no reason to have an Isra Mila here. So why would Isra Mila apply here? What do we add by saying... There's the fact that people look at this thing as being Nevela, and therefore not wanting to be next to it, right? That presents a fascinating... And again, only the Rabbanan would ever worry about this.
Well, it's like you
the
said,
Rais
right?
would never worry
it's
about
not,
this.
It's not because...
Think about it. If we believe the Gemara, which you have no choice, and it says that the Kutch of Shemesu is Nevela, and therefore it's Maus, so that releases... And again, Rabbanan are always capturing, and this is the main theme here, not the status of an object, but rather the way people relate to things. That's what Rabbanan love. They like playing armchair psychologists. They want to get into how people relate to objects. So, if I look at Kutch of Shemesu and I see Nevela... So what disappears with that?
The
cut. Come on.
The cut hektish?
Why?
Because I'm not seeing it as like a hektish thing. I'm just seeing it as like a disgusting dead animal on the floor.
Okay, good.
How could this thing
Shemesu, right? I can't really make use of it. Say it.
This thing possibly be hektish at all?
Oh, good. Okay, that's the problem. The problem is that, you see, you have a very funny idea. You have something that's nevela. Now, again, don't think halachically, okay? Think taboo. How could an object that has this negative taboo status at the same time be what? Hektish. That's impossible, right? Again, I'm not trying to say the average Jew is like doesn't think. I'm saying, and for the halachic mind, you would say there's just two different statuses. There's nevela and there's hektish, and they can coexist. In fact, you would even argue they're just coming from two different planes. Often you have that in halacha. You have like one plane of halacha generating one status, another plane generating another status. Like for instance, by Me'ilah, you have this idea of it belongs to God and the idea of Nezikin, and I got to pay back a certain amount of money, right? Here, what's the problem? The average Jew will look at this and say, it's Nevela. Nevela means gross, disgusting, taboo. How could Hektish ever exist in such a thing? So what's that going to lead them to do?
Make sure they know that Hektish exists within it.
Right, exactly. It seems to be to reinforce the idea that, yeah, there's still a reality of Hektish in this thing.
Why must we do that?
Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Go. Shank, you're up. So Mesu Nami Tanina. Okay. So now, the Gemara's have another question, okay? So you're telling me that Ula comes to teach us Kachrim Shemesu, that Mila applies, but we see in a Mishnah later on, okay, that Me'ila wouldn't apply in a case where it seems like according to, again, Kadron Shemesu means what? The animal died prior to being brought in the Mikdash, okay? So now, the Gemara, as I mentioned before, the Gemara just wants to pulverize this universal. So what does it do? It finds a Mishnah later on, without getting into all the complexities, okay, that shows clearly of a case of Kadron Shemesu where Me'ila... does not apply. Okay? So here's the case. This is a Hanana Minachatas. Chaya. Okay. So let's say I have a Chatas, and let's say it develops a mum. What's a mum? A blemish. Good. Okay. So when it's alive, I get Hana from it. So Mesifta guy says, Kagon Shatalash Mimena Tsemer. What does it mean, Talash Mimena Tsemer? Good. That's one word. Give me the other ones. What's Talash? So a chatas, a korban chatas, okay, a korban that you brought because of a sin that you a certain type of sin that you did, right? That has a mum, omedes lihipados. It stands for pigeon. You can do what to it?
Redeem it.
Okay. Vishavia nifches adei tlishas asemer, and its value will go down based on me doing what? If I pick off some of the hairs, what's going to happen to its value? It's rap. I mean, especially Klein's like a gorgeous blue heifer, right? Right. So now its value will go down if I pluck out some of the hairs. But it had a mum in it already. Now, ugeshenena mimena kishimesa, but when I get benefit from it when it's dead, ukvar ina omedes ledamea, and now we're not worried about its value, sharei ein podim esakachim lachilim leklovim, now I can't redeem this dead animal. Again, chatas balmum, okay, that I go ahead and dies prior to being brought in the temple. What can't I do with it? I can't redeem it, and therefore, what's it exactly like? What is it exactly like? Kachrin shemesu. That's the key point. Forget the logistics. Don't worry about the logistics.
Oh, no, because it, you didn't make it, you never made a hekdesh.
Right, well, it says, kevan denene kol shehu, right? Mal, okay? I would get me'ila, okay? Now, uvavad, now look at the guy says, uvavad eish hakavana rak min derbanan, right? It has to be rabbinical. Me'ila would apply by this case, okay? Vigach mo'am afalach harmisa. Aval shar kachim, look at this second column. Shank, see the top there? Read there. Aval shar kachim. The shalmei tzibor. Look at the next. She'enam. The kapara. Right? That you don't, when those korbanos, you don't bring them for what purpose? Atonement, right? Remember, korban chatas. In the general situation, a zucker commits a terrible sin. He's chai to bring in korban chatas. He does tshuva. What does a korban do? What does it bring about from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Forgiveness, okay? Complete forgiveness, okay? So that's by a chatas. But you're not going to have that by an ola. Aim all by lachar misa. So what do we deduce in the Mishnah? Mila would not apply to a stam case of kachem shemesu, okay? The kashul ula. She'amar shebechol kachem kachem olim lachar misa. One more time, okay? I know. It's a very, very roundabout way to get to a very simple question.
It's for all kachem kachem. And we say
for all kachem.
Not for all kachem.
Oh,
sorry, not kachem.
Kachem. Kachem Mesa. So Ula said, Mi'ila Durabanan applies to all Kachem Shemesa. But this Mishnah seems to indicate that Mi'ila Durabanan only applies to one case of Kachem Shemesa, which is the Chatas case, right? Of course, you're supposed to ask,
why Kapara?
Why the Kapara Chatas business? Why should that make a difference? The Gemara knows what's bothering you, okay? It's about to ask that. But again, just to be clear, the question the Gemara is asking is, Ula claims all Kachem, what applies? All kachrin shemesu, what applies meila, but that's not true because this mishnah seems to indicate it only would apply by achatas. So why would you think achatas is different? So the gemara says, "Isalka taitach." Achatas. Asya. So achatas is brought for what purpose? Atonement. Okay. Ubedilimina. Don't read the low. That won't make any sense. Ubedilimina, which means what? When it's alive, look what he says. Kuvar bechayea. Regilim. That's you, Shank. Third line. Livadalimena. So when it's alive, this animal, it's I mean, again, but because that's a fascinating question of itself. But what are they saying? They're saying that a person, when he sees a korban chatas, how does he treat it? Yeah, because what's it doing? What's its function? No. You're thinking halachically.
No,
meaning what?
It's redeeming.
Its function what?
It's redeeming you.
Right. It's saving me.
It's saving my
right.
Team.
So what does that animal become to you?
Like
super important.
Yeah, super.
An ola. Now again, the halachic mind would say, "What do you mean an ola is what? An ola is cool la Hashem, and it's so important." But the average person, when they see a chatas, they're going to say, it's for kapara. So when it's alive, right, they're going to be very careful being next to it. The gam achshav shemesa v'dilimen. And also when it's dead, they're going to do what? They're going to be very separate from it. Levikach ain't sarach ligzor ala isra me'ila of mishemesa. So there's no need for an isra me'ila, right? Shrei kvar hogul lifra shemena. Aval shar kachim shank ho'il. They're not coming for kapara. Therefore, bidili minhon. Excuse me, lo bidili minhon. So therefore what? Ein bidili mehem mechayim kolkach. Meaning that by a regular korban, when it's alive, what's a person's feeling towards it? Right. I'm just saying. The Torah was set up, in order for the Torah to work on a national level, to answer, at least according to Ramban, Avram's kasha, bama ida ki rishana. How could you have a system where you have an elite scholarly few, and then the masses, well, this is the way to do it. It has to be where Chazal worry about these things. Okay?
Well, Chazal makes a lot of based on...
So, okay, so let's see if we can at least get this question clear. All right, so now the Gemara, this question is a great question, because the Gemara is saying, by chatas, there's even less of a reason to make a me'il derabanan. Because not only would I stay away from it when it's dead, I'm going the wrong order for a reason, but I'm going to stay away from it when it's alive. Meaning, I'm not going to have anything to do with this object. It is, as far as I'm concerned, this object is as far away from me as possible as being something I'd ever want to relate to. So why should me'il derabanan ever apply to it? Why? That's the question you need to answer. Why should me'il derabanan apply to it? Makes no sense.
Well, once it's a